Well, I got a little email in my inbox, and it is from Josh at my dog food supplier.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just lovely, and it's an important notice about a price adjustment on Akana dog food, which we use. Unfortunately, the manufacturers recently increased their costs, necessitating us to adjust the prices of certain items. As always, we will strive to keep our prices competitive and absorb any additional expenses whenever possible. However, we're going to have to yank the price up to keep our profits up. So fuck you, Tony.
Yeah.
I didn't need all that from Jurassic Bark. There's some advertisement. Remember the first episode I advertised my friend's hot dog company?
Yeah.
Sausage company. Bad, B-A-H-D. That's my good mate. Abby's company, Bad Hot Dogs. And now I've just done it for my dog food company, which I shouldn't have because they've just fucking stiffed me and said the prices are going up for Jurassic Bark.
In this comedy podcast, the people are represented by two separate yet equally unimportant comedians. This guy.
I thought Flat Earth might be something you'd get on board with.
And this guy.
That'll show the BBC what they're missing out on.
These are their stories.
Silence in the court.
Everything's going up now. Everything's so expensive.
Oh, my God.
And because we're lazy, we just, oh, yeah, fuck it. All right.
Yeah, yeah. We're like boiling frogs. They just turn it up a little bit. And then you got to buy only bargains and eat stuff you weren't expecting to eat.
Yeah.
McDonald's has stayed pretty low. We'll just keep eating that. Is there an echo when I talk too loud?
I can't hear anything. It sounds all right to me.
I was going to try and start a tradition on every episode. I would talk about the sound for a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How's my sound?
Becomes a thing. It's like Brad Pitt has to eat in every movie.
Does he?
That's his thing, yeah. Brad Pitt eats in every movie.
What?
Sam Rockwell dances in every movie.
So why does Brad Pitt eat in every movie? What is that?
For some reason, they all have a thing that they do.
Oh,
that they insist on.
Just like a fun...
Yeah, so then Quentin Tarantino puts feet in all his movies.
Ooh, not sure about feet, people. I'm a judgy fucker sometimes, and yeah, not sure about that. I went to one of them, what are they called? What's the thing called? Something garden, torture garden?
Oh, yeah, what were you doing there?
So this is about, 25 years ago. It was before my wife. But me and Phil Nichol had just done the Banana Cabaret. And Phil went, oh, did you hear about this? There's a torture garden on it. I went, we've got to go. So we were pretty juiced up. And I wore silver leather flares on stage anyway. And I thought, so all I have to do is take my shirt off and just go into my silver leather flares. And Phil, he went with his boxer shorts but rolled them up and then tied his T-shirt up. But those were our outfits. So we went there.
And they let you in.
They let us in. Unbelievable. When people were in these extravagant, crazy outfits. And it was mental. But we were such two moron Canadians. We just didn't belong right from the get-go. Everyone's all sexy and being all gross and sexy.
Yeah.
And going into these different rooms, everyone's dancing in the main room, but you go into these little side rooms and there's naughtiness going on there and things where you think you're a pretty cool guy, seen it all, but you walk in and go, oh dear. Excuse me, madam, but that, do you know who are, what? Oh, but I went into one of the dungeony type things down the bottom and there's a dude. And he was having a good old whack-off on some lady's boots.
Oh, wow.
That
just
was all part of the thing, yeah. How did we get onto this? I don't want to talk about that.
Funny enough, because we're talking about the Romans, and the Romans loved an orgy.
Well,
they loved
did
an
they?
Orgy. I thought they did. I thought they invented sexuality.
I think humans have been at it long before them, but... I think the idle rich always get up to shit like that.
That's
don't they?
True. That is true.
So they have less.
Yeah.
We have 1% own 90% of all of the money now, but I think back then in Rome it was less than a half a percent had 99.9% of everything.
Mm.
So those ones at that top, yeah, I bet they definitely got up to that sort of thing. And then there was some emperors would try and humiliate senators if they thought they were a bit uppy. There's stories of like making their Caligula. Everyone knows about the Caligula stuff. Mm. Getting their wives to be with other chaps, soldiers, stuff like that, just to humiliate and cuck them or whatever it is. But I think they were pretty much up to it. But I don't think all the 40% of the population that were slaves, I don't think they were up to it.
No, they weren't up to it.
They were deep in a mine in Spain, digging out silver to fuel Hadrian's bid for the emperorship.
And they weren't looking at each other going, you got nice boots. Do you mind if I come on?
Yeah, I'm going to jerk off on your boot, on your sandal.
On your sandals.
No, they were just busy not trying to not die.
Yeah.
And then I suppose, I imagine the senatorial class and all them, they were up to it probably. But I think they probably did a bit of orgying.
But even
now, that's very un-Roman in a way, because they used to pride themselves on being like a real militaristic tough. We're not like those effeminate Eastern, the people in Persia, the Parthians and all that. They would tell themselves that they were all effeminate, not like us Romans. So the Roman Republic was real stern.
So
look at the busts of the senators from before the Empire, when it was just the Republic. And they're the more grizzled. They used to, all their busts were really grizzled faces, they're all tough looking. You see a guy called Sulla, Lucius Cornelius Sulla. He was the very first, he was the second dictator. There was a someone did a dictatorship in the 300s BC, but then Sulla came along, became the dictator to sort shit out in the Civil War, and then stayed dictator for a little bit, put up his conscriptions where he just pulled a Stalin and killed shitloads of his enemies, and he thought, right, I think I've got rid of all the troublemakers, and then he gave it back and said, okay, and now you can have your consul again. And he retired, probably the only dictator, one of the only dictators in history who died of peacefully of natural causes. Mind you, Stalin died of natural causes, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah. Do you ever see, what was that comedy they made about Stalin? The Death of Stalin? Is that it?
Yeah.
Armando Iannucci? Where they were all like, so Stalin's dying of something, and he's like, and everyone's like, too scared to go in and help, because they're thinking, what if I help him? He survives, and then I've still got a chance to be killed. Let's just see. They're all looking at each other. Just see how this plays out.
Yeah.
Ooh, he is in a bad way. There's a bad dude. In a bad way, right there, brother. Stalin is sick. Yes, he is. He does not look good. But you remember how many of us he's killed? A lot.
So let's just see how this pans out.
Yeah. Talk about the dark arts. That's what Stalin used to talk about.
Did he?
Everything would come across... What did he write? He would get these names of people, so people would just job each other in and go, oh, so-and-so is an enemy of the party. And then he would go, I forget what he wrote. It was something so sinister. He would put a mark in red pencil beside it, and it wasn't exterminate, but it was something like end or... Oh.
Let's have a look. I wonder if it's...
Yeah, Google that, because it's chilling. He would say... And he personally did it, like hundreds, like thousands and thousands of people he'd go. I don't know how you'd Google that. That's quite interesting. How do you Google?
What did Stalin write?
Beside people's names.
Yeah.
I'd Google it, but I'm in such a tight compartment that I could only use one hand on the laptop.
Oh, God. Is that... can't even Google.
So, let's see.
Let's find out.
Yeah, let's go. Joseph Stalin would say... write a good book while you're doing that. I'll tell the listeners. A good book is The Court of the Red Tsar by Simon Sebag Montefiore. And he wrote The Young Stalin as well.
This is just saying about the books he's written.
Right. Did you write beside people's names?
Yeah.
Oh.
Then it just says his books. He was a voracious reader.
He was. He was actually quite clever.
20,000 books he had in his library. An autodidact.
Yeah. He wrote.
Yeah.
Busy boy. I'll remember it for next. He was a busy boy. Yeah, he was quite a good poet, apparently. In Georgian, obviously. And he was going to go into the seminary, and then he thought, nah, not doing that.
Oh, really?
But how did we get onto that? Sulla. Yes, Sulla. If you see Sulla's bust.
Yeah.
Of Lucius Cornelius Sulla. His nose is broken off in it, but he looks like a fearsome guy. He's an interesting character, Sulla.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to read about him. He was like a minor aristocrat, real minor. They were quite poor, didn't have much money, but he still had a name that went way, way back. But not a storied family, like a minor, a minor aristocrat or whatever. But he used to hang around with all the actors, and like actors were virtually considered the same as prostitutes.
Wow.
And comedians, and all of us would be considered like that. But he hung out, and he was quite a ladies' man, and he had an aunt who died, and she left him some money, and he got, ooh, I got a bit of money. And then this courtesan or whatever, like a prostitute type lady or whatever, that he was her favorite, and she left him all the money she had earned from her sexing business. And then he went, oh, I might make a little run for government here. And that's how he got started. But yeah. I've really condensed how to describe Sulla in 40 seconds.
Wasn't it the Greeks then that had all the orgies? Was it the Greeks?
No, I think when it became an empire, Augustus made it an empire. He was a bit of a conservative, and he was very, very strict. No, he had laws of like, ooh, if you have sex outside your marriage, you're going to die. Like, he was a real prim proper.
Yeah.
That was Augustus. But after him, when it got to Caligula and those emperors, they got a bit, you know, a bit inbred-y, probably.
It got a bit sticky.
It got a bit. When you put 15-year-olds on the throne, that's not great.
Yeah,
is it?
Nah.
And then there are people who grew up where their mum was murdered by their dad's lover. So they're brought up in trauma, and then they're leading from a place of trauma and decadence and don't have to work. And they have they control all the people if they want with the swing of a hand. So they all died violent deaths. But so they did get into that tiny percent of people got into that orgy. And about how did we get onto that?
But that's the thing.
We got orgy on the mind.
It was just because we were talking about the Romans, for some reason.
That's your go-to, isn't
it? Oh, yeah, they're all banging.
That's your Romans. I think of that movie Caligula as well, didn't do them any favors.
No.
Caligula.
When you go to places, like you see the old baths and the things, and then there's like drawings of like massive penises.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. In Pompeii, there was brothels. There was more brothels than bakeries or something. And, you're right. So they were all at it, actually. Now, come to think of it. So it looks like in that town, they were all up to...
Yeah.
Up to brotheling about.
And then they upset the gods and they went, right, we're going to wipe you out. That's it.
So that was after Augustus. So that's 79. That would be Claudius? Or no, it's after Tiberius. Nero. So that's Nero's time. So that decadence probably trickled down a bit.
Trickled down decadence.
But they loved it. Yeah, you follow the penises to on the floor, aren't they?
Yeah.
To take you to the
to
brothel.
Take you to the thing.
Oh, they were very naughty.
Yeah, but then that's what's happened. The elite have always been the same. They've always had weird sex parties. That's why Epstein's Island happened.
Yeah, that's so the same that's thing. Just grotesque.
Yeah.
Any old dude who fancies someone outside of his age gap, he's a wrong'un. And they're usually people that are quite clever in another way, so they haven't had to develop something. You know, they've got something else that they're good at, apart from royals, because they're fucking just morons. They can't do anything. Like Andrew, he's a fucking...
And
he now, wouldn't last long in jail, would he?
But the thing, when he said, oh, I don't sweat. He said...
Is that what he said?
Something happened to him in the Falklands, and it means that he was unable to sweat.
He's unable to have a moral backbone, fucking pedo. Unbelievable, he gets to walk around, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if you fancy someone outside of, like, 10 years either side of you, I don't know.
Okay,
I don't,
so my missus is 14 years younger than me.
Okay, 14, it depends when you're older.
But then I've been out with somebody who was 18 years older than me.
Yeah, so no, you're fine. Yeah. And also, 14 at your age,
yeah,
she's still old. So that's different. That's fine.
Yeah, if you're 30 and it's 14 years, then it's like, hang on a minute.
Yeah, that's not right. Yeah. But if I like someone 20 years younger than me, 25 years younger, that they would only be, well, they'd be 30, I guess. That, I don't know.
Mm.
Just feels like.
I know what you mean. If you're in your 40s and plus, and you're running around after 20-year-olds. Yeah.
Because people are children until they're 25.
Yeah.
The brain hasn't even finished developing until 25 years old. That's why our generation have got so many morons, because people were doing drugs before they're 25. And that's why we're all stunted.
So many drugs. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Nowadays, kids are a bit more cool, I think, on the whole.
They find that
a bit distasteful.
Yeah, they do.
They only get one life. Theirs is like, I think they look down their noses at that, and they're right to. But Francis Fukuyama told us it was the end of history in the 90s, so we all just thought, well, Soviet Union's been defeated. What could possibly go wrong now? It's the 90s. Let's go raving. It's the end of times. We've got nothing to live for. And then all of a sudden, uh-oh. Here comes trouble. And I think we know what we're talking about. Do we?
Gotta be careful.
Yeah, that's a... Never thought that'd be a thing. We'd walk around worried about that.
So blatantly as well. It's like, if you say anything bad, you vanish. And then they go, yeah, we did do that.
Remember when I was walking up the escalator in the tube and I saw the poster for the Book of Mormon, you know, the comedy play, smash hit, and I thought, whatever you think about the Mormons, you got to hand it to them. They've got a sense of humor. You know, they're good. You know, they didn't kick up a fuss about that. Maybe they did, but I never heard of it. And Mormons will go, oh, yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
Take the piss seriously. Out of us.
That's all right. That's good. Wish they were all like that.
They should all be like that. They go, whatever. Yeah, you got us.
If you're confident enough in it. But it's got to be a dichotomy to feel like, I think any time people have a religion where it's like, you are better than the people who aren't that by the virtue of just being a thing, saying you're a thing. I think you're up to an unhappy life. If you're walking around thinking you're better than the rest of the world or other people, but... Maybe when your life doesn't go the way you want it to go, you're going to be like, oh, I'm the best.
Yeah. Why haven't I got the things? Because I'm the best. We're the best.
Yeah, we have walked a tightrope there, haven't we? that was deft. We absolutely danced along a fine line. And everyone knows what we mean. But we ain't said nothing.
We ain't said nothing, and we ain't gonna say nothing
no
either.
No fucking way, man. Hey, wait, we mean the same thing, don't we?
Yeah.
No, I didn't mean that.
No, I meant the other thing. The other dude.
I'm just keeping it positive. I'm just saying the Mormons, got to hand it to them. Well done them, taking it on the chin.
All religions could do with a little bit of humor.
They could, a little humility.
Yeah.
Humility.
They should just have a little bit of fun. We are a bit like that, but come on.
Mind you, Richard Dawkins, love Richard Dawkins, but he could use a bit of joking as well.
He needs to chill out a bit,
yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, it's nice for people to have a religion, you know, when it's that gentle version of them. But you know, when people have the loving version of whatever it is they're into.
Well, that's it. It's the fundamentals of most religions are all the same.
And you should be able, yeah.
And, you know, and you can go, oh, yeah, just be decent to everybody.
I like the peaceful ones.
Yeah.
The ones that's part of the thing, like, oh, washing the feet. I'll tell you who's really back from the dead, and pun intended, is Jesus. Because in the he is making a run at it again, because during the Super Bowl, you know, you watch the Super Bowl and they have these millions and millions of dollars spent on all these advertisements, and there's one big funny one from Dunkin' Donuts, and then there was another one from this. 2 years ago it was all crypto, and then they all got sued, but then there'd be a car company, but it'll be an electric car, and all funny adverts. And then all of a sudden this other one, you're going, wow, this is an epic one. And then at the end, what is this advertising? Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah, loads of adverts.
In the Super Bowl.
Yeah, peace, like, hey, let's all be brothers and sisters and peace and love. And Jesus, he's in all of us, or something like that.
What?
Jesus loves us all. And I got to be honest, if that was the 25-year-old me, I'd be like, oh, my God. But it's not the same as those old conservative Christians. It's not that mess. It's like a cool message. And there was one, what's that Irish actor who's always a bit fighty? Mark Wahlberg?
Right.
He was in an advert where him and a dude who looks like Jesus said, it's an advert for praying.
Wow.
Yeah, let's pray. And they did a pray, dear Lord. And they did this prayer. And
so he's religious, hugely religious.
Yeah, he's a big Catholic. Huge. But they're kind of normalizing prayer. I don't know. There was something about them that didn't make me go, ooh. Because, you know, when we grew up, we were always trying to push it. You know, we spent 1,500 years trying to lift the shackles of an oppressive religion off our shoulders and get rid of Mary Whitehouses and let gay people be gay. And let's all, you know, we were scared of it. Get it off. But this is like a revamped version. They're going, hey. Then there was one where they're washing feet. There's a whole deal. It always starts like that.
Is that Baptists? The feet washing?
No, I don't know. I think Jesus washed people's feet, something like that.
So he's a foot person.
He's
a fucking weirdo. I told you. This is how they get you, Tony. You've gone all glossy eyed and gone, might be something. No, this is how they get you, Tone.
There might be something in it. It was a lovely message, but it was the nice version. And you think, oh, but we did spend in Europe, didn't we? That's why we used to mock Americans, because they remained really religious, didn't they, when we were getting it off our back. And then all of a sudden, within a generation, then they finally catch up. That's why they're all so woke in America, because they get rid of their religion and they don't know what to do with themselves. And they're going, but I feel like judging people. I feel like controlling people socially below me somehow. How do I do that? I'll be a woke guy. But so they're kind of behind us by 20 years of non-religiosity, I think. But it looks like Christ is making a play. He's putting the ball back in the game.
And he just needs to turn up himself. Turns up.
Boom, job done.
Yeah, I'd be there. You got all right.
If he's, no advertisements necessary.
No.
But they must have, there's some big God. There must be some money behind it. I don't know who's doing it.
Fortunes, mate. Fortunes. The Vatican, they're billionaires, aren't they?
But it wasn't like, I think it might have been Catholic. Because it had a seriousness to it. It didn't have that kind of fairground Protestantism that the Americans do. You know, that kind of, come to Jesus. Yeah. What's that sitcom on Sky? The Fabulous
The Family.
The Gemstones.
Yeah. Fabulous Gemstones or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
The amazing
Danny Dudar in it and
Danny McBride, yeah.
Yes.
Not like that. It had a different vibe. It had a one of them I was going, that might be Jesus. And then the joke was, I know I look like him, but I'm not him. And then Mark Wahlberg goes, let's pray to him. And I'm going, what the fuck is happening?
Get the fucking real dude. You've got the money.
I mean, how much is he holding out for? Yeah. That's it.
He's got to get a new agent. That's what it is.
That's a good gig. Oh, your camera went weird.
So, yeah, it does that. Oh, it's nice dropped.
I nearly got a Super Bowl advert for Bud Light back maybe 10 or 12 years ago. Yeah, and I was penciled. Did I say this last week?
No.
I might have said it on someone else's podcast. Oh, there you are.
It's dropped down.
Oh, hello. Hello.
Hello. I don't know what I'm doing.
And it was, I was penciled for it. It was so much money. It would have changed my life.
Oh, really? Life-changing money?
Yeah, and I wish they hadn't told me I was penciled because I just started spending it, going, I'm going to pay off this, I'm going to pay off that, then I'm going to get a car, and then I'm going to, oh, we might be able to get a flat one day. And oh, I was spending it all, and then they went, oh, really sorry, Tom, but they went the other way. Oh, why? Oh, that really echoed.
They should still give you some money. They should give you half of it because they know you're going to go off and spend it. You're going to go to your mind shopping mall.
So I wonder if
spend it all.
Maybe because I've talked so positively about the Jesus adverts, maybe next year I might get a job on one of the Jesus adverts.
You'd be a great Jesus.
Yeah. Well, no, not to be Jesus. I'd even play a bad guy.
Be Jesus. The be Jesus.
Be Jesus. Be Jesus. Be Jesus. It's an Irish. It's a fucking Irish advert. Advert. That was like Tommy Tiernan. Advert. I can say one word like Tommy Tiernan. Advert. I do a better Northern Irish one. That better.
Northern.
My granddad, but I can't do my granddad's accent how he used to talk because he went to Canada in the 1930s when he was 30. But he talked in a way I've never heard anyone talk like.
Well, it sounds
so
like
backwards.
Ian
so
Paisley.
Ancient. It was a bit like that, but it was a bit more rural and you couldn't understand what you were saying there. Like, and there's a guy you can Google on YouTube called Strongest Northern Irish Accent. And there's this wee kid. He's 16 years old. He's on his way to school in the snow. And he talked like that. And I went, that sounds like granddad. Because most of them talk a little bit like that there, you know. It's not too bad. Not too bad. Who's your mom? But those ones are rare. They're it's like real 19, what I'm guessing is a 1920s Northern Irish accent. There, like, and I, sure. There, I'm on my way to school. I'm on my way, and it's coming down. The snow, it's snowing so bad. Something like that.
Yeah. That went all over the place then.
And so it does. It's a wee accent there, like talking on the back of the throat there, like. But I honestly couldn't understand him a lot of the time when he'd be talking. I taught him out of World War One. He'd tell World War One stories.
World War One.
He used to talk about this big gun that the Germans pulled on a train, and he called it the Jag Johnson. And about this massive gun. I think that's what he was talking about. He was talking about a massive gun they pulled on a train, and it fired a shot 15 miles. And I've since found it that's true. I think he got booted out. Not booted out, but he got into some trouble for stealing an officer's uniform to go get cigarettes and booze. That's the hero our Alfie was.
That's the hero I can get behind.
So he got into some bad trouble. Probably saved him, though, when he was in the stocks.
Yeah.
Probably meant he didn't die. He was probably locked up. They did the rush over the top, so it's not really a punishment.
No, this
stole some booze and smokes,
and then he got locked up. So then he got saved. See, he is Jesus.
Yes, okay. He had a tattoo of a ship, a sailing ship, on his forearm because he was so old, though, and the tattoo was so crap. It just looked like a blob of ink on his forearm. It looked like a massive. What do you call those things? A birthmark.
Birthmark.
Yeah, but it was a ship.
My grandma had a bluebird on her forearm.
Oh, does that mean she was in prison?
I don't know.
I think that's what that means.
Really? Your it was a big one. It was massive.
Your grandma did bird. She did
that's
porridge.
It was for.
Yeah.
It was all the way down the forearm, and she used to cover it up. She used to wear a tabard, but with a jumper underneath, so he had long sleeves. And I only ever saw the bottom of it.
Was your grandma a Cockney?
She, kind of. She was Southeast London.
You sound like how people in London all used to sound when I first moved here.
Yeah. This is, I don't know why I sound like this.
Now they all sound like my son.
Yeah, they all talk like that. I mean.
Yeah, he talked like that.
No, Dad. No.
Actually, yeah, he gives me trouble. He's got, you know, he says my version of how he talks is so out of date that no one sounds like that anymore.
Yeah, they've moved
on. But it kind of sounds like that to me. Dad, yeah. Oh my God.
My days, bruv.
I love how he talks. It's so cool. I could sit there and listen to him and his mates talk.
Yeah.
I just think these are the coolest children ever. I listen to them and go, fuck, you know.
But all teenagers have had their own, like, when back in the 50s, it was like, hey, daddy-o, and...
Hey, jazz. Yeah, and if you listen to the rock stars from the 60s and 70s, like The Who and Mick Jagger, and they're all kind of like that. All the London bands, yeah?
Yeah.
They all talk like that, and it was all rock. It was rock and roll, you
rock
know?
Rock and roll. We've been listening to records. We've been listening to records.
It was such a good record.
Yeah.
And Pete Townsend and all them, they all talking like that. And it was, I used to think that was the coolest way of talking, too. But you sound like a proper car. When I first came to London... Now you've got to go to an AA meeting to hear people sound like that anymore.
It's old fashioned. Yeah,
in there. All the guys just going, well, I've had a tough day today. You know, it's been tough, but sometimes I just go to an AA meeting to listen to old London. It's a beautiful way of talking.
I do remember Dave Longley said to me, he said, you seem like the kind of person. Well, you sound like the kind of person that could get me either a new pair of trainers or a gun.
Yeah. It used to be a replica, but all you've got to do is what I've done here, and I've put this part in, and that's usable. It said the cereal's been scrubbed off, and you've never met me before, mate. Can you... Because I feel like getting a gun. Can you... Are you able to get
your gun
again?
If you want? Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure we can find one for you.
Yeah, I mean,
not here in Tunbridge Wells.
So, where were your folks from?
They're from. So, my mum and my dad's from his side of the family are the West Country.
Oh.
So Devon and Scotland, which is where we got the Wilson from.
Oh.
We got our own tartan.
I thought you were going to tell me you came from River Gypsies. like Ron Wood from the Rolling Stones. They were canal gypsies, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, yeah.
Yeah.
But my mum's side of the family are from Brixton and Camberwell. And
how long do you think Ron Wood's going to live for?
Oh, God. He's made of wood now, isn't he? Surely.
He's mostly wood. He does look pretty woody. He was a cool dude, wasn't he, for an average guitar player? Says he who can't play an instrument in his life, but he did well for himself, so he can take it.
He did well. Ronnie Wood did well. I think
he's good at painting.
He does painting.
Oh, I mean,
that's it, isn't it?
He does good painting. I suppose if you want to meet a modern person that reminds you of an olden days rock star, you could do no worse than Noel Fielding.
Yeah.
He's a bit like he's a
Cockney. He's a Cockney.
Yeah, he's
a proper.
Proper
East Ender.
He's a I think they're proper water gypsies.
And he,
I think they genuinely are. They are.
I remember playing football with him, and he came out, and everyone was, and he was saying, like, when he said, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to go and play football with the other comedians," and everyone was like, "What the fuck are you going to wear?"
I'm going to wear
football boots and shorts and a t-shirt like everyone else.
And it, so
but
he
just
didn't
leopard print.
Wear his winkle pickers or whatever.
No, he didn't. He's very good at football, actually.
Yeah, I heard he's brilliant.
Yeah.
I also heard Daniel Kitson's not bad.
Kitson's all right.
What about
Andrew Bird's all right. Andrew Bird's good.
He looks like he'd be good.
Yeah, lean.
He does look like he looks all kind of footballer.
Yeah.
What about Simon Munnery's quite good. One arm all tied
I've
up.
Heard, I've not. Yeah, I haven't played with him. Oh, maybe I did years ago. Russell Howard's good.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
Keep him coming.
Dane Baptiste, he's a good player.
Danny Boy.
Danny Boy's all right. Steve Williams is brilliant.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He's like the head writer on Russell Howard,
yes,
isn't he?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Yeah, because he just disappeared from the circuit, and I thought, no, I hope he's doing all right. And then I went to their studio one time, and I went, oh, he's doing all right.
Yeah, he's fine.
I wouldn't Steve's be doing fine. Gigs either. If I got that, I'd be out. Oh, I'd miss it, though. I don't know.
You would miss it. I thought about this the other day when I was driving back from somewhere. But I'm like, no, if I didn't have this, I'd miss it.
I like going to a little historical town.
Yeah.
And playing to 70 people in the back of an ancient pub. And them all being so grateful. And just, oh, you know, like somewhere in the West, somewhere in Wiltshire or something.
Yeah.
I love that. I'd miss that. I like that.
I like that.
I keep doing that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep doing that. I think that's I think that's the end, Tony. I think we've
Once
finished.
Once we build this podcast up, we're just going to tour all the pubs.
We're going to do it.
That's all right.
Finished.
Nice one, boys.
Silence in the court.